Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now enjoy the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Grady Yonas, pastor of the Gladwin and Marion Seventh-day Adventist Churches.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. Well, so glad you're here. So glad you're here, each and every one of you. It's a blessing to gather in the house of the Lord. And this morning, as usual, we will be studying the Word of God. So I hope you have your Bible ready. We're going to turn into a number of passages. And this verse is just not a Bible verse. But we want to focus on, as you might have guessed, Revelation 12, 17. And this verse is very related to the world that we are living in today. It is related to the time that we are living in today. And I would even dare to say that you will not have a full picture unless you understand this verse. With that being said, let's bow our heads and we're going to pray. Father in heaven, once again, Lord, we pray for the spiritual discernment. We ask that the Holy Spirit can come into our hearts and open our eyes and understanding, that this verse will become so clear to us that we know how to live in these last days. We pray for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 12. And as you turn there, I want to share a little bit about the book of Revelation and the chapter. Revelation chapter 12 is one of the most important chapters in the book of Revelation. The chapter itself contains the history between good and evil and how it has started years ago. Nobody really knew when it started, but it has been going on for centuries or even millennia. I call this chapter the Great Controversy Chapter. And it will probably take several hours if we break down every single verse. But for today, we'll save you a little bit of time and we're just going to be focusing on verse 17. And I would be using the New King James Version. Let's read the verse. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, if you are reading King James Version, you might have a slight difference in the verse. Instead of saying the rest of her offspring, King James would say the remnant of her seed. And that's a phrase that I prefer to use, and that's why I put it up there. For the rest of the study this morning, we will be referring to the remnant of her seed. How many of you have ever read the book of Revelation? How many of you have ever read this verse and left confused? Yeah? The nature of the book of Revelation is a little bit different than the rest of the books of the Bible. Why don't you turn with me to Revelation chapter 1? Before we get into the chapter and the verse itself, I want to lay a little bit of foundation here. Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 3. The Bible says, blessed is he who what? Who reads, and those who what? Who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Before we get into the book of Revelation and get deeper into it, I want to give you the assurance that blessing is promised. When you study and hear and understand and keep this book, the blessing is yours. And then there's a warning at the end of that verse that says, for the time is near. I think it's no doubt that we are living in the end of times. We're living in the last days. I want to lay another foundation. Read verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the whole book of Revelation is about Jesus. It's not about the beast. It's not about all the monsters that you might think it's there. It's about Jesus. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and, what's the next word? Signified it by his angel to his servant John. I want to focus on the word signify. This is the reason why many of us get confused when we read the book of Revelation. It's because the book is signified. What does that mean? Well, when we go, we don't have to go there. You can take note of this. John chapter 12, verse 32 and 33. That verse will explain what signify means. It means the message is given in symbols. The book of Revelation, as some of you already know, are given in symbols and codes. So how do we interpret this? Bible study principles. We always interpret Bible using the Bible. We let the Bible to interpret itself. We don't use our guess. We don't use our wisdom. We let the Bible to interpret itself. And that's the principle that we will be using this morning. As we try to understand this verse, Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, we will look at several passages that would shed some light and help us understand what this verse means. Are you ready on this journey? Let's go back to Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the remnant of her seed, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Right off the bat, let's identify three characters in this verse. Who are they? The dragon. The woman. What is the last character that we find in this verse? The remnant of her seed. There are three characters in the verse. The dragon. The woman. The remnant of her seed. And we're going to be using these characters as the structure of our study this morning. So why don't we go and talk about this dragon. Who is the dragon? Some of you already guessed it right. But again, we want to get to the Word of God. Let the Bible interpret itself. Who is the dragon? Let's go to verse 9 of the same chapter. Let the Bible interpret itself. Let's read verse 9. So the great dragon was what? Was cast out. That serpent of old called who? The devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to where? To the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. You're right. This great dragon is what we know as the serpent of old, the devil, Satan. Now you have a strong foundation. When somebody asks you who the dragon is, you just don't say, it's the devil. But now you have a foundation. You can tell them to go to Revelation 12, verse 9. That the dragon is devil. Saying, now notice that he was cast where? To the earth. To the earth. What story comes to your mind when you think about Satan on this earth? Some of you might go to the book of Genesis, right? That was when Satan first appeared in the whole Bible. But here's the question. Why was he cast to the earth? Let's read verse 7. Why was Satan cast to the earth? Revelation chapter 12. And war broke out where? In heaven. Michael, which is Jesus, and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not what? They did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. This is the reason why Satan was cast out to this earth, because there was a war. Nobody knew when that war started, but we know that it happened way before the book of Genesis began. Because the book of Genesis picked up when Satan was already cast to this earth. That's why I said this book is a great controversy chapter. Just this chapter alone shows why there is so much good and evil in this world. Why there is a war, why there is sin, why there is temptation. There was a war in heaven, and Satan was cast down to this earth. Let's go back to verse 17. So I think it's clear. Who is this dragon? Satan, the devil, the serpent of old. Let's move on to the next character. Who is the woman? Who is the woman in this verse? Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 6, and you might want to put your finger in Revelation 12. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 6. Reading verse 2. Who is the woman? Jeremiah chapter 6, reading verse 2. Are you there yet? All right, Jeremiah 6, verse 2. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a lovely and delicate what? Woman. So according to this verse, who is the woman? The daughter of Zion. Now, let's go to Isaiah 51, verse 16. Isaiah is the book before Jeremiah. Isaiah 51, verse 16. Who is the daughter of Zion? Isaiah 51, 16 says, "And I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundation of the earth, and to say to Zion," what? "You are my people." So we can safely conclude that the woman in the book of Revelation is the daughter of Zion, and the daughter of Zion is God's people. The woman represents God's people, God's true church throughout the history. That's the woman. Now, let's go back to Revelation 12, 17. We have identified two characters so far, right? We have the dragon, who is the devil. We have the woman, which is God's true church. The next thing is, before we discover who the remnant of her seed is, or who the rest of her offspring is, we want to see what is happening between the dragon and the woman. Let's read the verse again. And the dragon was what? Enraged. Angry with the woman. Now let me ask you this question. Why? Why was the dragon angry with the woman? And I want to suggest that there are two reasons. First, contextually, Satan was enraged with the woman because the woman was saved by the earth. And you can find this in verse 15 through 16. We won't get into the details too much, but you can see how the dragon tried to kill the woman with a flood. And the earth, that's another character, the earth saved her. Well, these verses describe the history when God's church fled Europe because of persecution, and they landed where? In the United States of America. They are called the Pilgrims. And speaking of Thanksgiving, hope you had a good one. But do you know that Thanksgiving was prophesied 1600 years prior? This is the verse that described that moment when the Pilgrims from Europe fled because of persecution and they landed in the United States of America. Anyway, the whole history just to illustrate that the dragon was trying to kill God's church. But he did not prevail, because the earth, which is also a symbol of America, saved God's church. And the pilgrims flourish in this country. That's why we have liberty of conscience. Anyway, the dragon was enraged because he failed to kill the woman. That's the first reason. And I want to suggest to you that there's another reason. Reason number two, the dragon was enraged because God had planned it to be that way. And let me explain to you a little bit. Think about the encounter that the serpent had with the woman in the book of Genesis. Remember that story? Why don't we go there to Genesis chapter 3 to understand a little bit more and see what we can glean from this story. Genesis chapter 3. Just to give you a little bit of background, you know the story of creation? When the Lord created everything and everything was very good, God placed two human beings in the middle of the garden, but he made a law. Do not eat the forbidden fruit. Guess what they did? They ate the fruit. And now let's read Genesis chapter 3. This is after they sinned, after they ate the fruit. And we want to focus on what God says after the incident. Let's pick up in verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the rest of your life, all the days of your life." Verse 15, I want you to pay attention. And I will put what? Enmity. Between who? Between you. Who is you here? The serpent, Satan. Between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, capital S, which is Jesus, between your seed and her seed, meaning that throughout the history, for the rest of the history, I will put enmity between Satan and the woman. Could also mean God's church, God's people. God placed enmity between Satan and his people. Let's make an application here. Let's pause for a little bit. I believe that we are the descendant of this woman. We are the church. And God's church needs to have this enmity also. Do you realize that there is one hatred that God wants us to have? Yes, Christianity is all about love. Amen. Love to God, love your fellow man. But Christianity is also about hatred. Hatred towards Satan. Hatred towards sin. And sometimes we preach about love, but we don't preach about hatred towards Satan. And we need to emphasize both. But do you realize that God has placed that enmity between his people and Satan? Let's just take a moment to reflect. Do you hate Satan? Do you hate sin? Are you repulsed when sin abounds? Those are indicators to see if we really hate Satan. And this is God ordained. I mean, I believe that in Genesis 3, after a human being fell, after we sinned, everything that we call punishment, where Adam has to work more, where Eve has to labor, all that punishment is supposed to be redemptive. And as the result, God also placed this enmity between his church and Satan. Why? Because it's for our redemption. If you don't have hatred and enmity towards the devil, then there's something wrong. And I believe that Genesis 3:15 is a promise that we can claim as well. We need to ask God to give us that hatred towards the devil. We cannot love God without hating Satan, and there's no middle ground. This is the only enemy you must have. Not your friends, not your family, but Satan needs to be our enemy. God ordained it that way. So there are two reasons why in this verse, Satan was angry. First is because he attempted to kill the woman, but he failed. Second, because God planned it that way. It was to no surprise for God. Let's continue. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to do what? To make war with the rest of her offspring, or the remnant of her seed, who keeps the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus. Let's talk about the last character, the remnant of her seed. Well, Satan was not happy with how it turned out, and the woman escaped, and then he went again to make war, this time not with the woman, but with who? The rest of her offspring, the remnant of her seed. So let's talk about the remnant. What is a remnant? Okay, leftovers, but I kind of want to avoid the negative, nuances there. That's like, yeah, leftover is unwanted, you've taken the good part. But if you have worked with fabric before, you know what a remnant is, right? It's just, in layman terms, it just means the last piece, right? Not necessarily unwanted piece, but it's just what's left from the bigger part. And you could say that the remnant has the exact same material, exact same quality, and the exact same color. The remnant has this exact same material, exact same pattern, exact same quality, exact same color. Not necessarily unwanted. And now we're talking about a remnant of her seed. A remnant of the descendants of God's true church. What does that mean? It means that there is a remnant or last group of people from God's true church. If there's a remnant, there's also a big chunk of it that is gone. It's implied there. This implies that big portion is no longer part of the true church. Either they have decided not to be part of it anymore, or they lost the material, the quality, or the color of their faith. But there is a remnant, and that still has the same characteristics of the old faithful church of God. And this should give you the assurance that if you're looking for a true church, that church still exists today. It should give you hope. When you're looking for that old godliness, old religion, it still exists today. But God is being more specific here. He did not leave us there, the remnant of her seed. He gave two precise identifying traits of the remnant. What is the first one? Who keep the commandments of God. What is the second one? Have the testimony of Jesus. Let's talk about keeping the commandments of God. Jesus is being very clear in the book of Revelation that the remnant will keep the commandments of God. And this trait should be crystal clear for God's people, because God's people have been keeping God's commandment. Thousands of years ago, God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Most of the Christian church today agrees on most of the Ten Commandments, except the fourth. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. There's a great deal of discussion today about what day it is. But do you know that there was None back then. There was no discussion back then. It was clear that the seventh-day Sabbath is Saturday. Jesus kept it. The disciples kept it. Paul kept it. And even historically speaking, the first century Christians in the whole world worshipped on the same day, the Sabbath. The New Testament church kept it also. But it was not until AD 321 that a Roman emperor named Constantine changed it from Sabbath or Saturday to Sunday, the venerable day of the sun. This, as a result, divided God's church, divided her seed. As a result, some of the descendants lost their defining color. That is why now in Revelation, when we're talking about the remnant, the Bible is saying that there is a descendant of a faithful first century Christians who still keep all the commandments of God. And we don't want to overlook love. Romans 13:10 says, love is the fulfilling of the law. That's another trait that sometimes we just see, oh yeah, keep the commandments of God, and we run away with it. But the presence of love is also a mark of God's remnant church. The presence of love is also a mark of God's remnant church. And I want to make an application here that some of you probably have been convicted about keeping the commandments. And you have been looking for the right church. I want to give you the assurance that from the Bible that yes, that church still exists today. So let's talk about the last trait. The last trait according to this verse. And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, the remnant of her seed, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The last identifying mark of God's remnant church is to have the testimony of Jesus. What is it? What is the testimony of Jesus? Why don't we back that up with Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. What is the testimony of Jesus Christ? Revelation 19, verse 10. The Bible says, and I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have what? The testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So it's clear according to this verse that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I want you to notice the word spirit there. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The word spirit here is pointing out to the reality that this is divine in its nature. And this should remind you of the verse in 2 Peter 1:21, how biblical authors was inspired by God's Spirit. They were holy men moved by the Spirit of God. The testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy, is divine in its nature. Spirit of prophecy is being able to know the future through the divine inspiration. Now, who has the spirit of prophecy according to this verse? Who has the spirit of prophecy? Okay, just look at the verse again, Revelation 19:10. Somebody here says that he has the spirit of prophecy. Let me read the whole verse again. And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your what? fellow servant and your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So this fellow servant, this brethren has the spirit of prophecy. How can we understand that? Let's go to another verse that will help us. Revelation 22, verse 9. Revelation 22, verse 9. And I want you to notice the title or position that this same person added. Revelation 22, verse 9. Then he said to me, "See that you do not do that," the exact same phrase, right? "For I am your fellow servant and of your brethren," but there is something added here. What is it? "The prophets and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God." Notice that he added this title, "The prophets." Now it makes sense. Putting the two verses together, who has the spirit of prophecy? The prophets. We call the biblical authors also prophets. The prophets received this divine inspiration and they would be able to know the future. Now going back to this remnant. In this verse, Revelation 12, verse 17. "And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, the remnant of her seed, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Therefore, God's remnant church has the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy belongs to prophets. Therefore, God's remnant church believes in and has prophets. God's remnant church believes in and has prophets. And there's more that we can say to this, but we will save it for another sermon. Okay? But anyway, let's unpack this last phrase and we will close. "And he went." Who is he in this verse? The dragon, the devil. "And the devil went to make war with the remnant of her seed who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." In this last section, I want to focus on the last action that Satan is doing. You notice the word war. War. It is mostly a spiritual war, and it's taking place in our minds. But, and no doubt, sin and temptation that comes to our mind is a part of it, part of this war. But I don't want to close the door that it can actually manifest physically. We've seen it in the story of Job, how the devil was working so hard to kill Job, well, not to touch his life, but brought diseases and death to him and his family. It manifested physically. There is this war that God's remnant church is involved in today. This verse also shows who's got the target on their back. This verse shows who's got the target on their back. Today, Satan is warring not with any churches, but specifically with the remnant who keep the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus. And friends, as the descendants of God's true church, we need to realize that we are in a war. That's the main thrust of my sermon today. We need to realize that we are in a war. The great controversy is not over. This whole thing between good and evil is not over, even though we have the assurance that Jesus has won it at the cross. But we, as the descendants of God's true church, we're still in a war. And many believers forget this, and they live as usual, but I want to emphasize that we are living in an unusual time. We cannot relax. The devil is aggressively after God's true church, and we need to realize that we have an enemy. We have an enemy, the devil. And it's so important to love Jesus and hate Satan. It's important to love righteousness and hate sin. In fact, that's a character that is described of Jesus in the book of Hebrews as well. This is all one package. This is the enmity that God has ordained immediately after sin. There is enmity between Satan and God's church, and it needs to stay that way. Well, I hope our study this morning has given us new insights. New insights of what's happening today. And I hope it has given you ideas in how to live in these last days. I hope it also has inspired you to be closer to Jesus and choose His side. And for some of you, this study has brought you to the valley of decision. Whatever that may be. Maybe some of you are asking yourself, have I been keeping the commandments of God? Some of you are asking, do I believe in God's prophet? Some of you are looking for a church. Am I in God's remnant church? Or some of you are just unaware of the battle that is going on. You know where you are, and you know the decision that you need to make right now. Why don't we bow our heads? Father in heaven, you've heard our cry. And thank you, Lord, for speaking to us through your word. Thank you for giving us the understanding that we are still in the middle of the war. But thank you also, Lord, that you have given us the assurance that you have won the war. And Lord, it's our desire to be on your side. It is our desire to join your church, your true church that still has the same characteristics of that old faithful church. Father, I pray that you may speak to any individuals in this room that needs to make that decision. Strengthen them. Give them the courage to stand for what is right, to stand for truth. And Father, this is our desire, that you will give us the strength to resist the devil. If any of us lacks hatred towards sin and towards the enemy, we pray that you may give us that. As you have ordained in Genesis 3, that we need to have this enmity against Satan and his angels. Father, I pray that as we depart from this place, you can solidify our commitment, that we can start a new life with you, walking closer towards you. And we pray that we may be found faithful when you come again. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Grady Yonas, pastor of the Gladwin and Marion Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit one of his churches or a church listed near you on strongtowerradio.org. You'll find the Gladwin Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2336 M61 in Gladwin, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 11 a.m. You'll find the Marion Seventh-day Adventist Church at 801 West Main Street in Marion, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 11 a.m. as well. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.